because I know God is able.
Yes, sir.
I've got confidence. I know that he can do all things but fail. I know that God can not only save us, but God can keep us. Amen. God can protect us. God can cover us. God can bless us. God can use us. Therefore, I have confidence. And I'm so thankful that the Lord led the praise team in that direction. I thank God for them and praise him for their contribution to our worship service today. Amen. They continually bless us as they lead us in praise and worship here at Christian Charity. And I thank God for them and their ministry to us. Come and go with me this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to read two verses in your hearing and we'll get right into the word. I don't propose to keep you long. There's three pretty brief points for us today, but there is a word from the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6, beginning with verse 19, says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's bow. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we're so grateful, Lord, for this opportunity to come and to worship, to exalt your holy and divine name. We praise your God. We give you thanks. We give you glory for your majesty, your sovereignty, O Lord, for who you are. And we thank you for your great love for us, and that you saved us, O Lord, and made us your own. I ask the Heavenly Father that you would use my mind and my mouth. Speak to your people today, O Lord. May we hear from on high. And may, Lord, we hide your engrafted word in our hearts, that we might glorify you fully with our lives. I pray, O God, that you would touch someone who may not know Jesus Christ, that they, Lord, will pray the prayer of faith and receive him as their Lord and Savior today. Lord, speak today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to talk to you briefly today from the subject, God's property. God's property. In the midst of this pandemic, some of the social rest that exists today, a president who is completely out of touch with reality. Amen. We as believers need to understand that we don't have any reason to worry or to fret because of who we belong to. Amen. And for that reason, we can have confidence in who we are and whose we are. Regardless of what's taking place around us, it's always beneficial to remember who you belong to. Amen. I can remember as a child growing up, and I'm sure most of you have as well, that when you were about to leave the house, your parents would tell you, don't forget whose child you are. Make sure you don't go out there acting crazy and embarrass us or bring shame to our name. And then also they would tell you, my dad would say, hey, you know, you ain't got to take nothing because you know I'll come and take care. And for that reason, he was letting me know that you ain't got to worry about nothing because I'm your protector. And so it is with the world situation and God being our Father. God has everything in his control. When we think about belongings and purchases and ownership, we generally begin begin to think in our minds what we really need. And then depending on whether it's a house or a car, the size, the model, the make, amen, the availability, and then certainly the cost is also a consideration. When we purchase things, we want to make sure that we can really afford them, and that it is something that we can use that's going to be beneficial to us. And generally, we can use it however we choose to use it, as long as it doesn't break any laws or violate God's law related to sin. Amen. We don't want to do anything that's harmful to anybody, nor anything that is harmful to us. But when we don't use those things as God has prescribed, they somehow become a weight and begin to draw us away from God. But you borrow something, you use it like the owner tells you to use it. And see, sometimes, you know, I thought about, you know, sometimes how we take ownership of something, and we think that we can use it just any way we see fit. But we act like that song that B.B. King used to sing. I can remember when I was growing up and our elders would play some blues, and B.B. King was the man. And there was a song he had, Paid the Cost to Be the Boss. And sometimes we adopt that attitude, amen, in relation to the things that we have. And that we think that we are the owners, that we truly have paid the price to possess whatever God has allowed us to have. Well, let me remind us of a very key point that we need to understand. And that is that we need to remember Deuteronomy 8 and 18. And that is a chapter that talks about remembering God. And it talks about it from verse 1 all the way to the end. And it says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Amen. Without God empowering you, giving you the strength to get up in the morning and go to your job or in the evening, you would never be able to go and earn, amen, to purchase the things that we desire, the things that we want. And yet, and still knowing that, realizing that sometimes we get that attitude that we are really the ones who are paying the cost, when God is the provider of everything we need, including strength to gain wealth, to work, to earn, to have. And then most believers embrace another very key scripture, and that is Psalm 24, verse 1, when it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. And I mean, they embrace it in somewhat of a general sense. You know that God created the heavens, and he created the earth, and you look at the sky, the stars, and all those things, and we can accept that a higher being created all of those things. And let me tell you something. He made them for us to enjoy. And then he blesses us with everything that we need. God owns all life, including your life and my life. Amen. When we look at the truth and we understand God's word, every good and perfect gift comes down from above. He is a good God. He is long-suffering. He's patient. He tolerates us. And some of the things that we do, he tolerates our robbing him, amen, to buy those things that our eyes tell us that we need or we believe. But the thing is that God does own everything, including you and me. Amen. Well, let me take just a few minutes, and I'm not going to keep you long, but I want to drill down into the most important level of leadership that the Apostle Paul talks about in this passage today. And when you think about it, you know, my first point is simply, you are not your own. Amen. And in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 6, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Amen. And I know the revelation that we don't belong to ourselves is a shock to some people, because we operate by that old rule. And y'all know that rule. I'm 21. I'm grown. Amen. I got a job. I earn. I got a house. I got a car. I got some money in my savings account. I handle my own business. Amen. And therefore, you can't tell me how to handle my business, because I'm a grown man or I'm a grown woman. So don't try to tell me how to deal with my life. Y'all know when we say it in that kind of intimidating, forceful voice, like, don't bother me, back up off of me. And see, I know younger, before Christ and crazy, I would tell people, hey, you run your shoes on. I run my business. And we're serious about it. Well, let me give you a word from on high, and it's one that you need to understand and remember, and I don't have to go any further than back to Psalm 24, verse 1, and that is that the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwells in it. When that resonated in my heart, so my eye came open, amen, the truth that I am the property of Almighty God. And for this reason, you know, Paul reiterated, amen, teaching he had already given to the Corinthians. He had already told them about God being the owner, not only of everything in the world, but them as individuals. God owned them. He also told them the negative teaching, amen, about their bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit and not using it as an instrument of sin. And too often, you know, we have to hear things more than one time. So I'm sure that's why Paul had to reiterate it, because, you know, how many times has somebody told you something and you act like you didn't hear them? You just ignored what they were saying like it wasn't true. Kind of like the president. They keep telling him the election's over, but he keeps running around having rallies and letting people go out and protest the election, and the election is over. And they can count the ballots 100 times, and he's still going to lose. Well, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know the doctrine: when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit then takes up residence in us, making our bodies a holy place, a sanctified place for the special dwelling of the presence of Almighty God. That Holy Spirit resides within the believer. Point that our bodies have become a new place, a place for God the Holy Spirit to live. And when we act in opposition to the Word of God, and we act like we own ourselves, when we engage, amen, in sexual immorality, that morality that runs contrary to the Word of God, to the new nature and new identity that God gives to the believer's body, our bodies have a much higher purpose than they had before Christ. Because before you knew Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit did not live in you. We have been redeemed, amen, through the power of God for good works. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2 verse tells us, and that God prepared works for us to do beforehand. And those works were prepared long before you came into this world, a long time ago. And we needed, amen, the Holy Spirit to come in to make our bodies ready to do the work that God had prepared for us to do. So we ought to use our body for righteousness and not for sinful things. Paul also reminded the Corinthians they did not have the right to use their own bodies, not any way they wanted to. And I know in this critical time of liberalism and sexual freedom and all of those things, that this is contrary to the culture. That people think that because they have a body, they live in that body, that they can do anything they want to do with their body. But let me say this to you. You can't use what you don't own any way you want to. Use it based on the priority and the direction of the one who created you. You have to yield to the will of the Creator, the one who made you, the one who owned you. Paul insists that Christ brought us at a price, his own blood. Christ bought us body, soul, and spirit by shedding his blood. And because we belong to him, we don't have the right to rebel against him by using our bodies in ways that he calls sin. You remember when Jeremiah was sent down to the potter's house. Ultimately, when the work was spoiled in his hand and he crushed it to start over, God spoke to Jeremiah and said, "Does not the potter have the power over the clay?" And you and I need to understand that God is the potter, we're the clay. He made us, and because of that, he owns us. Most of us, amen, believe that we own our cars, SUVs, trucks, vans, whatever we drive. Even while we're still making payments on them, we still think we own them. Well, you pull up and somebody asks you, "Is that your ride?" You, well, yeah, it's mine. And you got a coupon book at the house and you're making payments every month. But you still claim ownership to that. But let me ask you a question right quick. Your teenager, you get a phone call or a text from them, and they say, "Hey, I'm gonna take the car, and I gotta make a little run, check on something, and I'll be right back." You lose your mind. You'd either text them or tell them in the conversation, "You don't tell me that you're gonna take my car. If you want to use my car, you ask for permission." Amen. And you know we would tell them in such a way that they would clearly understand, "I better ask Daddy. I better ask Mama." Amen. And the beauty of us being purchased by God is that it came with our redemption. It bought our salvation. And it should inspire us to a greater level of obedience to the Lord, because he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. So please remember, every morning when you get up, that you're not your own. If you receive Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Then my second point is that we've been paid for. Amen. He paid for us. In the 20th verse of 1 Corinthians 6 says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Paul gave the command for us to honor God with our bodies. Paul had already given the negative, amen, warning in verse 18 when he told the people of Corinth to flee immorality. And rather than just merely resisting sin, believers must see themselves as temples, amen, of God purchased by Jesus Christ. See, how a person sees themselves has a lot to do with their self-esteem, their feeling of self-worth. The Bible tells us not to think too highly of ourselves, not to get big-headed, not to call ourselves looking down on other people. But when we see ourselves as the temples of God, see ourselves as God's property, it will impact not only how we see ourselves, but how we use these bodies that God has blessed us with. It's important for us, the church, the body of Christ, to conduct ourselves in a way that honors and pleases God. We should constantly be looking for ways that we can honor the Lord. We should be constantly looking for ways that we can glorify God and using our bodies in a way that pleases Him as He commanded. We should remember that our bodies have been joined in Christ and that we must honor Christ by not dragging our bodies into unholy relationships. We have been purchased. We've been bought with a price. And you know, it was a cost that none of us could pay. Then, let me give you this remedy to remember. We're going to be headed to a close. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." The Holy Spirit, amen, has taken up residence in us, means that we have received Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And therefore, our focus, our passion should be on the place where He is. Amen. And not on all of these things down here on the earth. See, Jesus, according to Scripture, is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And it's not something that just comes about by happenstance, but it has to be a conscious decision that I'm going to keep my mind focused on Jesus. I'm going to keep, as the songs, I'm going to keep my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm going to continue to look heavenward where He is sitting, and I'm not going to allow myself to get carried away by the distractions that Satan is going to bring before me every day of my life. We should daily be thinking about Jesus, thinking about heaven, thinking not out of fear, but out of joy and anticipation that one day we'll go and be with the Lord. But He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that has given us eternal life. And we need to remember that Jesus said, and this is why we need to think about Jesus in heaven. Jesus said, "Where a man's treasure is, there will his heart be also." To put it simply, the things we treasure reveal the place and importance of our hearts. And let me just keep it real for just a minute and just say this, that we can't set our affections or our minds on things where Christ is sitting if we treasure, amen, pleasure more than God. If we treasure money and possessions more than God. We can't have our minds set on things above if we're more concerned about status and notoriety than God. We can't keep our minds set on things above if we treasure houses and cars and jewelry more than we do God. We can't keep our minds fixed on heaven if we treasure travel and entertainment and social things more than we do the worship and honor of Almighty God. See, when we live in the reality that Jesus purchased our salvation, when we grasp, amen, the magnitude of the price that he paid that we might live eternally, it makes it easier for us to accept the fact that I am not my own. And see, give me just a second. I want to talk about that for just a minute as I close. Amen. We were bought with a price that no man or woman could pay. Amen. We were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He shed his blood out on Mount Calvary to save our souls. I know the story. I know you know the story, but there may be somebody watching or somebody listening today who doesn't know the story. But let me tell you for just a minute here that he came down through 42 generations. And see, there was 14 generations from Abraham to David. And there were 14 generations from David to the carrying away in Babylon and Josiah. And then there were 14 generations from Babylon to the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's 42 generations if you put them together, and it culminates with the birth of our Lord and Savior being born in an ox stall, raised in a carpenter's house, beginning his earthly ministry at the age of 30 years old. Jesus, the Son of God, the purchaser of our salvation, performed all kinds of miracles. My Bible tells me that he fed the multitudes, that he opened the blind eyes, he made the lame to walk, he helped the sick to recover, he cured the lepers. Yes, he did. He even raised the dead. One day, Jesus even took a walk on top of water. Yeah, and then, after doing all the mighty things that he did, they took him out on Mount Calvary, nailed him to an old rugged cross, raised him up between two thieves, where he died to purchase our salvation. Laid him in a borrowed tomb, where he laid all night Friday night and all night Saturday night. Amen. And then rose on Sunday morning with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Now see, the joy of being God's property is that we never can be separated from God. We are safe forever. Jesus said that all that you've given me, my Father has them in his hand. And no man can snatch them or take them out of my Father's hand, because my Father is mightier than all men. The Apostle Paul heard the Holy Spirit speaking, and he said that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, that neither life nor death, things present or things to come, height or depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are God's property. We are secure in the hand of God. And it doesn't matter what happens, not just here in the United States, but whatever happens in the world, belong, because we belong to God, we are safe and secure eternally. Amen. Not just today, but we are eternally safe and secure. People buy stuff and put them in safes, lock them up, hide them under mattresses, bury them in the backyard, thinking they were safe. But let me tell you, Fort Knox can never be as fortified and secure as we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. Not only is He our Savior, He's our sanctifier, He's our keeper, He's our provider, He's our everything. And I'm glad that I know for sure that I belong to God. If you're not sure, or you've never prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the best thing you could ever do while you're on this earth is to bow in humility and ask Him to save you. If you've not received Christ, bow your head. Father God, I know that I've sinned against you. And I need forgiveness. And I need a Savior. I believe your word that you sent your Son to die for me. And based on your word, oh God, I have faith. And I trust that you would receive me. Forgive me. Make me your own, oh God. I'm yours, Lord. Have control of my life that I might give you glory all the days that I have been. I ask it in Jesus' name. Saved by the power of your word. Amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer and you asked the Lord, you confess your sin, you ask for forgiveness, you ask God to come into your heart, you are saved right now. You don't have to tarry. You don't have to do anything other than trust in the Lord. Trust